box, office, refund, box office refund podcast.
Hello and welcome to Box Office Refund Podcast. I'm Nico Bell.
And I'm Ward.
And we review low-rated movies.
And decide if the critics were wrong.
Ward, how are you doing tonight?
I don't even know. This movie has... I don't even know what to say about it. My thoughts have been changing by the second from when I saw it to now. I don't know if it's good or bad anymore. At first I thought it was bad with some good parts. Now it might be a good movie. I don't know. Tomorrow it might be the best thing ever. It's hard to say.
Oh, boy. Okay, we watched Between Worlds 2018, Netflix, Nicolas Cage. Oh, boy. I'm so excited to make you watch this movie. I can't wait to hear all the details and what you think about it. I feel like it was falsely advertised as something that it is definitely not. I'm really excited to get into it.
Well, my first thought after I first watched this was, this is a terrible movie, but it may be the best Nicolas Cage performance in existence. And it's still a wonderful Nicolas Cage performance, but the movie, I wonder if I may have missed something in the movie, and that's making it better for me.
I mean, it's such a bad movie. You really have to look at it. If it is a Nicolas Cage, you're just kind of going solely based on ranking it based on all Nicolas Cage movies. I mean, he's known for picking crazy, weird roles. He's sort of become infamous for that. And that's what he's doing. That's what he loves to do. That's why we love to watch him. And that is what makes this movie so amazing and awful at the same time. So, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know what he's doing in this movie. Every time he was on screen, I felt compelled to laugh because he is comedic in every scene. And I thought that was at odds with what this movie is trying to be. But after writing my review, I wonder if the movie was supposed to be some kind of dark comedy. And I just missed it. I think it was. Because there are a few scenes I can point out that if you take them out of context, they are full-on comedy. Funnier than the funniest comedy. And I can't wait to get into those scenes.
No. I'm not going to give that to you. This is not a comedy. This was intended, I solely believe, to be like some sort of weird... not like sci-fi, but some sort of weird, ghostly thriller-type movie drama. I don't know.
Really? You're going to tell me that when Nicolas Cage plays a redneck, that's not for comedic effect?
I think he was really genuinely trying to play a redneck. Nailed it.
For large swaths of this movie, I wondered if Nicolas Cage was unaware he was in a movie and he thought what was happening was real.
Oh, there's some really cringeworthy stuff. Okay, let me read you the little sentence description of what this is. For people who haven't seen this movie, it says, when Billy falls into a coma after a near-fatal accident, she appears to be possessed by the soul of a woman who has unfinished business with the living. Okay, that's kind of general. What it really is this girl, Billy, does get into a coma. Her mother, Julie, enlists the help of Joe, who is Nicolas Cage, to help bring back Billy from the coma. What happens is Nicolas Cage's dead wife's soul ends up in Billy. That's basically the gist of what they were trying to accomplish in this
movie. Did you know the writer of this movie is a medical professional?
What?
I'm just kidding. There's no science in this movie.
Oh my gosh.
Here's my description of the movie. Nick Cage stars as Joe, the object of affection for both mother and daughter.
Yeah, there we go. There's this review that I found, and I just want to read the first sentence. It's Between Worlds review, Supernatural Sex, Nicolas Cage's Game. It's from the New York Times by Jeanette Katsoulis. And just the first sentence sums this up. In the bizarre, shambolic universe of Between Worlds, a schlubby truck driver named Joe, Nicolas Cage, has sex repeatedly with three women, one of whom is dead. I feel like that should have been the summary for this movie.
Also true.
Oh my gosh. Also true. Yes. The sex scenes are awful. These might have been the most disgusting sex scenes ever.
But they are also the pinnacle of the movie. There's we're just going to get into this now because I feel like I need to bolster my point. At one point, he is having sex with his girlfriend's daughter. And at first I thought it was a memory, but I think it's just like this is what's happening in their minds. Also having sex with his wife. And while doing it, he is reading a book. And on the cover, it says Nicolas Cage's Memories. And it's not like he's perusing it. He's reading it out loud while having sex with a girl. And this is after a previous sex scene with another woman where he was asking her, can we recreate The Exorcist while we do this?
Yeah.
And, upon review, I believe this movie was a comedy because there's no way anyone can take this stuff seriously. He's reading a Nicolas Cage book. He is Nicolas Cage playing a different character. Like, none of it makes sense. It's amazing.
None of it makes sense, but you are not going to put this movie into the comedy world. This is a,
how is
a
that
terrible,
not
terrible.
Comedy?
It has comedic elements that I'm sure Nicolas Cage put in on did that knowing what he was doing. But like, this is not a comedy. This
every
is a failed
scene
attempt
with Nicolas Cage is comedic.
A thriller.
Name me one season scene he's in that's not comedic.
I legitimately don't think he meant for every single scene to be comedic. I think some of them were meant to be serious.
Oh, you're gonna suppose what Nicolas Cage meant and didn't mean? Come on now.
I just feel like with the dialogue of this movie,
the dialogue makes it even funnier.
I don't know.
Well, I knew I was in for a fun ride when the Voltage production company logo, that is a little video upon itself that tells a little story. I'm like, if the production company logo is that long of a sequence, this movie's gonna be great.
Well, it was something.
It is.
Okay. Whew. Wait, but let's lay this out for people who haven't seen it. Okay, it starts with a drowning.
Oh my gosh, it goes on for 30 minutes. I thought that part would never end. We go through the credits.
Seriously,
I believe
yes.
It ran through the credits the second time. The girl drowns two or three times.
Yes.
I just wondered, is this some artistic movie and this is the whole thing? And Nicolas Cage just pop up at the end and say, oh, the end, got you.
Well, it starts out so eerie because it starts with a drowning. So you're like, okay, this person is dead. This other person survives. So you're kind of getting like a kind of a horror vibe. But then it instantly goes into the most ridiculous scene ever.
You're giving it too much credit, though, because the first time somebody drowned, I was like, yeah, this is kind of creepy. The second time they drowned, I got a little impatient. The third time they drowned, I'm like, oh my gosh, can we just start a movie? It did not start well.
When the movie did start, did you regret that? Did you wish you could go back to the drowning scenes?
No. The drowning scenes were easily my least favorite part of the movie.
Wow. All right. Well, once we finally get through the 30-minute drowning intro, we get to see a guy's butt.
What?
Which is always nice for me.
We start Nicolas Cage in his truck. And
yeah, he's
at first,
into a gas station.
Like, I knew he was a truck driver, but I was like, is he a low-level drug dealer too? Because I don't know. I guess I have a certain stereotype for truck drivers, but he has a ring on every finger. There's a lot going on here, and I wasn't quite sure what he was.
Well, I don't think he really knows. I don't think whoever designed the costumes or whatever knew what they were going for with him. Just that he was like a washed-up old man, basically, who's drunk most of the time.
That undersells because it's like he's part former rock star washed-up drunk truck driver. Like, the dude's done some things, or he thinks he's done some things.
Done some? I don't think that this backstory of Joe really is anything
I'm
other than
sure
drinking
they,
and doing drugs and
really
having sex.
In-depth.
I'm saying that's all that
is. But you mentioned the butt crack scene. And I would love to talk to the director of photographer and be like, hey, the suspended butt crack scene, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I don't know. As a professional, if I was that guy, I'd think, man, this is where I'm at, where I'm setting up this epic shot of a guy's butt crack. That's where I'm at in life.
Nicolas Cage walking into a gas station. Next scene, butt crack. The butt crack of a man who is strangling.
No, different butt crack. Not the same butt crack. Those are two different people.
No.
The butt crack is the guy at the counter.
Oh, you're correct. I'm so sorry to not do this right. Yes. So Nicolas Cage goes in there. What's happening in the bathroom is that our heroine of the story, Julie, is being strangled by a random dude. Okay? Now, Nicolas Cage goes in. And he's very heroic. This is his big moment to save the damsel in distress. And he's starting to beat this guy up so that she can get away.
But she's not happy about that.
She's not happy about that because she has asked for it. She has asked for it. Now, we don't know yet why she's asked for it. We'll do that. Which is so stupid. The whole premise of this movie, the idea that she can somehow be between worlds, the living and the dead, to communicate with the dead, I believe, or people that are in comas, I don't know. I never actually saw any proof that her ability was helpful in any way throughout the movie. I don't think that Nicolas Cage's character was necessary at all in this movie. I feel like it was just not what they promised me.
What do you think they promised you?
I think they promised me a movie where a woman could go into the spirit world and Nicolas Cage had some sort of supernatural ability to help her out. I mean, have you seen the poster for this movie? He's like all badass and there's flames behind him. Like some sort of Ghost Rider situation. He has no special abilities whatsoever. He doesn't do anything in this movie to help this woman, really help this woman and her daughter. Nothing. There's no reason for him.
Fun fact, that poster, that is, actually, they pulled that from Nicolas Cage's California ID.
Shut up.
It's true.
That would be amazing.
Nicolas Cage, in essence, the bad luck charm that puts this whole story into motion. He's the reason. I mean, this woman, she can touch the other plane because she almost died as a kid. So she can, whenever she's near death, she can touch that other plane, and she's trying to save her daughter, and Nicolas Cage screws it all up and sets everything into motion.
He doesn't screw
Yes, because he was there.
Is his mere presence in that room when she goes into the other world with her coma daughter, his mere presence causes the mix-up? Is that what they were...
Because his ex-wife, who that's a whole thing, or not his ex-wife, just his former wife, who's
his
now
wife.
Dead, followed him around even as a spirit. And so she saw, and I don't know how the movie describes it, but she saw like the portal open up back to the real world, and that's how she got into Franco Potente's daughter.
I missed
No
all
wonder
that.
You don't like this movie. You don't even know what's going on.
I did not know what was going on.
That's
you know
the
what?
Crux
I was
of the
so,
movie.
I know, that's why I didn't understand what was happening. And I was just so caught up with his appearance, his terrible acting, how he's delivering this dialogue. I got so caught up in all of that that I missed why he was even in the movie.
Well,
now that I know, thank you.
Well, it's actually one of the cool things about it. In any other movie, he'd be the hero. He saves the girl from this crazy guy. And in this, he's really, if he had never intervened, everybody would have been fine.
I guess. I mean, you're really digging into this.
Spoiler alert for the end, he'd still be alive if he had not ever intervened. The daughter would not be some crazy witch that's his wife. He screwed up everything. And that's why, that's this dark comedy. It's amazing. I applaud.
Okay, it's not.
Great
stop
job.
It. Stop
amazing
it.
Amazing movie.
Don't you do that. Stop it. This is not a dark comedy. I guess, I never really thought of it like that at all. Okay, I'll have to let that marinate in my brain a little bit. But let's go back to the bathroom. He has saved her from being choked. And when she asks, what are you doing? Why did you do that? Did you see him do, this really fun California surfer hair flip? And he was like, I saved you. It was amazing. He delivers these lines with such commitment, such Nicolas Cage commitment, that I have to tip my hat to him. He really knows what he can deliver and what he brings to a movie, and he commits. Good for Nicolas Cage.
In every scene, he is bringing that kind of Nicolas Cage intensity. I mean,
that is
when he just there's
true.
A scene where he's just walking down the hall, and I just cracked up laughing because even in his movements, he's bringing it. He knows what he is here for, and he's bringing it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd even watch this movie if it wasn't a Nicolas Cage movie. I mean, he has a certain charisma to him that you can't deny, even when it's horrible. You know, he's just so crazy and out of his mind. That you can't look away. You gotta keep at it. You gotta keep watching him. Okay, so the dialogue in this movie was awful.
Oh my gosh,
I sent you
bad.
Dialogue because I wanted listeners who have not seen this movie and are not going to see this movie just to get a little taste of what this dialogue is like. And this is actually the moment. This is 7 minutes into the movie. The dialogue that we are going to recite for the listeners. And it is after this, I shut it off, and I was cracking up, and I emailed you and said we were doing this movie. That is how much this dialogue affected me.
Yeah, a portion of this I actually wrote down in my notes, because I'm like, wow, this dialogue
really?
Is just something else.
Okay, so let's set the scene. We'll have to do a little talking in between the dialogue so they know what's going on. But this is right after the bathroom scene. Joe has saved Julie from being choked. She's gotten mad at him because she wanted to be choked. We don't know yet why or what is happening, but we know that the cops have been called and Julie is leaving and going back to her truck. She's a truck driver and Joe is following after her. Is that good?
That's good. Now I'm just gonna add a disclaimer here. I cannot do Nicolas Cage justice. I'm going to try, but it is just a mere shadow of the true Nicolas
Nobody
Cage.
Can really do. Yeah, sure.
You want me to start this up?
In in your own time, just whenever you're
ready. I'm trying to channel my inner Nicolas Cage here.
Okay. You can just talk it. You don't even have to try. No,
I feel like I've got to try.
Okay.
I owe that to
Nicolas
Cage.
Can I try
Cage.
To speak in a Southern accent, but with a German underlying accent?
Wait, I was going to ask. Southern? I just German. Thought she's Middle Eastern.
She's, yeah. Oh, is she Middle Eastern? It sounded German.
I mean,
German
Franco
me.
Potente is Middle Eastern or well. Somewhere. So I didn't think she was trying to do anything else. If so, I must have missed that.
Oh, I thought she was legitimately trying to do a Southern. Okay,
do you just
what?
Assume everybody driving a truck is from the South? Is that it?
I assume everyone driving a truck is from Germany.
Of course.
So, of course. Okay. All right. Whenever you're ready.
Hey, Buster. The state troopers are coming. I'm going to need you to explain what happened back there.
Julie picks up her phone. Hello?
Yeah, you hear me?
Speaking, yes. What? When? Oh, thank God. Okay, I'll be there as soon as possible. She looks to Joe. My daughter's still out of the coma, but it's still touch and go.
What? Coma? Hey, wake up. Want some no drowsy?
No, no. Caffeine's a vascular constrictor. It keeps the blood vessels from opening back up. Do you have kids?
Do I have kids?
I don't know. Family?
Takes a picture out of my wallet with my family. Wife and daughter, you like?
Oh, they're beautiful.
Oops, they're dead.
That was the best one. You so nailed Nicolas Cage.
I tried.
Especially the oops, they're dead. That line.
That line's amazing.
Okay, in my mind, that was not written in the script. That was entirely improv, that entire scene. And Nick Cage was just waiting to do that line. Oops, they're dead. It was, oh my gosh.
That whole sequence, people don't talk, like people in no way, shape, or form talk like that. And like the way this just switches subjects, I'm watching this thinking, what are we supposed to get out of this? These people are almost speaking nonsense.
Well, she's talking about her daughter in the coma as if Joe knows who she is, who her daughter is, and what happened to the daughter. She's just like, oh yeah, my daughter's in a coma. As if we should all know exactly what's happening in her backstory. Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. Yeah,
but then,
that was
then
the
she
dialogue.
Goes from, my daughter's in a coma, to, so Joe, do you have any family? How are you? Like, why do you care about Joe? Wouldn't you be wanting to get to your daughter? And then Joe wants to give her no drought. Why?
No drowsies. Which he's drinking alcohol. I mean, I guess he offered her caffeine pills. I don't know. But it's... Anyways, that was the moment I knew that this movie was going to be amazing and that we were going to do it.
Well, yeah, I'm just watching and thinking, Nick Cage is on a caffeine high. I mean, you've got his voice, his gestures, just... Like, the wardrobe department really knocked it out of the park for Cage. I mean, all this is just... on the money. And I just like, is Nicolas Cage acting? Does he think he's really in this situation? It is just a terrific performance from Cage. Even some of the subtle nuanced stuff, he really nails it. It is one of his best performances. And that is not hyperbole. It is a wonderful performance by him.
No.
Like, yeah, it's weird, it's different, but he's doing stuff.
No. It wouldn't surprise me seriously if he was like drunk or hopped up on meds the entire time this was going on. And
that
he
flask
was blacked
may
out.
Not have water in it. That flask may have alcohol in it. And he drinks from the flask all the time.
And he just like woke up one day, the movie had already been shot, and he just had no memory of what was going on and then saw the movie afterwards. Like that in my head is what happened. There was no subtle nuances. He wasn't playing anything like better than it was written or anything like that. He was just fumbling through and it happened to turn out into a movie. You're giving him a lot of credit.
Because it's an amazing performance. Like really, if you're a Nicolas Cage fan, you have to watch his performance in this. It is required viewing as a Nicolas Cage fan.
Okay, let's just put this. Okay.
Find me a better Nicolas Cage movie.
Mandy?
Like a better acting performance. What?
Mandy? Did you watch Mandy? His more recent one? He was
psychotic.
Oh, no,
I want to. I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, well, okay. Let's just dial back your enthusiasm a little bit. Have you watch a little extra.
You're
going to
hang your hat on one movie he's done? I've seen so many Nicolas Cage movies.
He's done tons of them, and they're... Okay, all right.
Yeah, he's done
Anyways.
Tons of movies. None, well, better acted than this.
I can't even believe you're saying that. We get to the hospital, finally.
Well, let's just stop before we get to the hospital. They're driving in a truck together. I don't know why. She willingly
true.
Goes with him. After she's seen him take a sip from a flask every 5 seconds, she doesn't even... there's just so many things going on. And the only reason it's happening is that the plot and the script needs it to happen. But there's no logical basis for anything we see. Why she... I mean, there's no one in their right mind would look at Nicolas Cage's character and say, yeah, come on, take me to the hospital. You seem like a fun, cool party guy. Let's do it.
Yeah. There's no reason. See, there's no reason for his character. There's no reason for this movie.
Well, he has to screw it up to make a plot. I mean, he's integral.
I guess.
Without him, there's no crazy human possession thing going on.
I mean, I would argue that this mother really doesn't have any sort of powers other than to step into the other side and watch things unfold.
Well, then how did the daughter get possessed if the mother was directly responsible?
That's a good question. I feel like, okay, listen. So this is what happens. They go into the hospital room, and they see the daughter, and they're sort of, everything's kind of unfolding. And then he chokes her, right? Isn't that how she...
Yeah, he has to. Got to activate those powers.
Right. So the only possible way that she can go to the other side is if she has a near-death experience. He chokes her. She goes to the other side. The other side experience she has is her just standing in the room. Like, there's really nothing going on. She doesn't help the daughter in any way. There's like this creepy nurse to the side. But whatever her ability is, it's just to get there. It's not to do anything once she's there. She really isn't pivotal in any way.
She opens the door.
Okay, well then they should explain she opens the door, because other than that, there's no reason for her to be jumping into the in-between world between life and death. Because she doesn't do anything.
Well, she opens the door. How do you think the wife got into Billy, her daughter's body? Because Franca opened the door. And Nicolas Cage is technically the turner. He's like the gatekeeper. She's the keymaster. There's something going on. There's something there. But he had to bring her to near death. She had to open the door. And that's all she does. She opens the door, and then she's hoping her daughter would run through. Unfortunately, Nicolas Cage brought his wife with him, who's a spirit, and she ran through the door and locked it behind her so that the real daughter couldn't get out and is dead forever, which they don't really address. They kind of should.
You know, oh boy. I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying it. I just don't think she did it. Okay, so she opens doors, and it causes dead people to come into the body. That's so stupid. Come on. That's stupid.
Why is that stupid? The whole description of the movie is that Cage's wife enters the body of a kid of another woman's daughter. I knew that's what I signed up for.
But
what did you think he signed up for?
No. That could have happened without the mother being able to jump between worlds.
She has opened the door.
But if you're in a coma, isn't that good enough to open the door? Like, you're in a coma, your body or your soul or whatever is suspended. Like, that's sort of what they're trying to say.
Look, do you know, like, when you go to the grocery store, do you know why you don't see a bunch of possessed people? Because Franca was not there and Nicolas Cage wasn't there to choke her. He chokes her, she opens the door, the spirits run through. Without her, none of that happens. Daughter can't get possessed. She'd wake up from her coma normally, like a normal person.
See, I thought when she was going to go over, she was going to find her daughter's soul within, like, a big group of souls.
Yeah, generally, that's what a movie would do, yes.
And that's not what happened. She just stood in the room. That's it. She just stood in the hospital room.
Because she's aware. All she has to do is open the door. She just figured the kid would run through, man.
You know what? I'm just going to have to accept that as reality and move on.
Hey, you know what my notes say? This is a direct quote from my notes. This plot is a bit odd.
You think? Is that... Wow, that's a great takeaway from this. Yeah. This plot
I knew what was going on here.
Just a little smidge of oddness. Just a little peculiar. Oh my gosh. All right, well, whatever. So the dead wife is now in the body of like a 16-year-old, I guess?
I'd say 18, but I don't know.
So we're going to make it legal at least? Okay, I'll say 18.
That makes me feel better about the whole movie.
Okay. Okay. All right. What I don't like, I mean... so much. First of all, there is the creepy nurse there that for some reason realizes that Julie can jump between worlds, and she's kind of ominous, and she's sort of, I guess, like that one little creepy element in a horror movie that make you feel a little eerie and unsettled. Whatever. That was there. See? That's why it's a horror movie. That's one of the horror elements. That's one of the thriller elements right there.
But that's problematic. How does that nurse... How is she aware? How does she know anything? I don't know.
Well, I don't know either. I'm just saying. They're in the hospital room now, and the daughter is awake. When she's awake, is she always 100% of the time Nicolas Cage's wife?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So she's always the wife, so she starts out with that. So Julie says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm here for you. I'm going to stay with you. And in the very next scene, Julie and Nicolas Cage are going to her home.
Makes sense. Never going to leave you until tomorrow.
Never going to leave. Going to her home. And then, so we get, oh dear. This is, I feel like, when Nicolas Cage really starts to get unhinged. Because he gets pretty comfortable in this house. Again, I'm not sure why that Julie has latched onto him, what he brings to the table, why he's there, why he's sticking around. But they do start to get a little hot and heavy pretty quickly into it.
Well, somebody, I can't remember if it's Nicolas Cage or Franca, they have a vision of them having sex. And they're like, well, we got to make the vision come true. Oldest trick in the book for a clairvoyant.
Wow. Yeah, so the daughter is in the hospital, but the mom is having sex with Nicolas Cage. I wrote in my notes as dialogue, I don't remember how to have sex, want to have sex, grossest sex scene. So I'm guessing that's what happened next.
I mean, I don't know about the grossest sex scene, but yeah, he's like, I don't even remember how to have it. She's like, oh, that's okay.
And then, while the daughter's recovering, they're at home having sex. And then 3 days later happens. We just, 3 days, 3 days. He's with her for 3 days, and the daughter is still in the hospital, and they're at home having sexcapades. This is just so stupid.
Well, I mean, okay. The fact is, neither of us have been around Nicolas Cage. We don't know what kind of pheromones he's putting off. There could be a whole subtext there. We don't know.
Thing is, the daughter is starting to act very creepy and weird. And nobody seems that concerned with it.
Well, she was in a coma, man. I think that's just collateral damage, right?
Well, she seems to have recovered awfully quickly. And her actions are played off as some sort of, like, teenage girl drama. But she is clearly very hot and heavy for Nicolas Cage. Very seductive. Very weird and creepy. I just feel like the mom should have sat her down and maybe talked with her a little bit more.
Well, the strange thing is that, and I don't know whether this is a knock against the movie or I should give it credit for this, but in movies like this, when somebody else possesses a body that's not theirs, they feel obligated to prove to people, hey, I'm not this person. I'm actually your wife, or I'm not your daughter. The wife is like, nah, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to ride this wave. And it's just very strange. Why not just tell Nicolas Cage, I'm your wife? But instead, I just don't understand her motivation. And the fact is, there's no motivation. It's just this weird plot device.
Because she keeps saying, like, don't leave me, that sort of thing.
No, that becomes annoying really quick.
Yeah, definitely. I guess is what she had said before when, I don't know.
And she also, in to go join her, that she also says, I don't do well alone or something to that effect.
Oh, yeah, that's, like, okay.
It's annoying.
That's very annoying, I agree. We do have to mention that Billy, the daughter, has a boyfriend, only because he plays a role later in the movie, so...
Is it a boyfriend or just a friend?
Oh, maybe just a friend. A friend who is a boy. A guy friend.
Yes.
Who's very concerned about her and keeps coming up and stuff like that. Doesn't really do much. Shows up at the end. Whatever. So just to throw that in there while we're there. Nicolas Cage decides to do a little work because he has to deliver his load from his trucking business or whatever. So he drives somewhere to deliver his load.
Biloxi.
Okay.
I know that because he says it like every few minutes. Gotta go to Biloxi. I was gonna go to Biloxi. I'm just gonna take you wherever you're going. Oh, Biloxi, I'm 3 days late, but Biloxi will still be there.
And someone is like taking his truck, and he says, a man without a truck isn't a man. And I just feel like we should all put that up in our houses and in our little boys' bedrooms. Just because this is like words of wisdom by Nicolas Cage. A man without a truck isn't a man.
All of this dialogue, though, is just so... It's not completely off the wall, but off the wall askance, where it's strange. All of it.
Yeah. Oh, it's very strange. When he comes back, he starts, like, dancing in the living room, and I put in my notes, such a stupid pose, such stupid dancing, gross. So...
Sure, why not?
That's what I thought about Nicolas Cage. He's smoking weed, he's having sex, talking about the Exorcist, and Billy...
He's not just talking about the Exorcist, they're having sex, and he's like, he wants her to reenact the Exorcist in some form or fashion. I don't know. And there's just no way that's not supposed to be comedic.
Okay, yes, that is supposed to be comedic, but that does not make it a dark comedy, okay?
I mean...
You can't... put it in a whole other genre because you want people to like this movie when it was never billed as such.
I've got more ammo for that. I'm not done. There's more ammo coming.
Anyways, Billy is watching because she's super creepy now and nobody seems to care.
Yeah, she's creeping all the time, just watching her mom have sex with her husband and smoking dope.
Wow, not husband, with Nicolas Cage. Well, no, the
daughter's
her husband. Okay, yeah.
It's a complicated triangle here.
But I'm exhausted. I just
found it so confusing that she never is like, you know, hey, I'm your wife, or hey, I'm your wife, I'm in a younger body. I think we can both have fun with that. It just, I don't know why she doesn't try to explain more. She's like, oh, I'm just going to really creep him out by coming on to him, even though I'm 18 or 16 or somewhere. And in this case, he's weirded out, but he doesn't know what to do.
Weirded out. She's creeping through her mom's underwear drawer. I mean, it's all very, very strange. And then she starts, okay, this is a fun scene. She is now starting to be a little bit more aggressive toward Joe, starting to try to hold his hand, be more physical, get into more contact. And then we have the hand job under the blanket scene. So this is just the best movie. So are you still holding that this is one of his best movies? Because we've so far talked about Exorcist sex. We're talking about hand jobs under blankets.
Well, I want to question that. Was there a hand job under the blanket? Because I was not witness to that.
What? Ward,
he was holding. She was holding his hand,
Ward,
and then she
Ward,
covered
Ward,
the hand. I'm here.
Ward. Oh dear. I think someone failed to talk to you about the birds and the bees a long time ago.
Nope.
There was stuff going on under that blanket. Julie was like in the kitchen.
I know where everybody is. I know the layout of the room.
Oh, I'm just explaining it for listeners so they can be on my side of this. And Billy is sitting there. Joe is sitting there. There is a blanket over them. You see her hand go under, and you see motion. And you see your precious Nicolas Cage's brilliant acting. Clearly, he is trying to suppress himself because she is doing a sexual act underneath that blanket. I mean, this is like sex acts 101. This is very basic stuff that's going on under that blanket.
That's an interesting interpretation. But how the scene actually plays out is that they're watching TV. Frank is in the kitchen about to make dinner. I don't know, like steakums or something.
Okay.
And she, the daughter slash wife, puts her hand on Nick Cage's hand as they're watching TV. And he is deer in the headlights. He's like looking left and right, looking for an escape route, trying to make sure his girlfriend doesn't see. And then the mom says, hey, Billy, do you want to help me in the kitchen? And of course, Billy, I mean, she's a real jerk all the time to the mom. You think she's like, look, I'm not your daughter, or at least try to fake it. She doesn't. She's like,
no,
I hate you, mom. I wish you'd kill yourself. I'm here with my man. And so then Nicolas Cage is still scared. He's like, oh, I'll help you in the kitchen. I'd love to help you in the kitchen. Let me help you in the kitchen. I need to get out of here. And so then when the mom comes closer, Billy throws a blanket over their hands, which are still on Nicolas Cage's thigh, nowhere else. And I don't know what happens after that. I may have I don't think anything happened. I don't know.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure. I'll use this as my evidence. If a hand job happened, I would guarantee Nicolas Cage would have a bigger reaction than anything we witnessed. He probably would have screamed, yelled, grunted, and fallen onto the floor. And since that didn't happen, thus nothing occurred.
In fairness, based on his sex scenes, yes, I will probably give you that. You have won that argument. Well done. Nonetheless, he does nothing to stop this. I mean, he's kind of going along for the ride.
He's petrified. He is so scared. He's petrified.
So, okay. All right. We find out a little bit about Nicolas Cage's about Joe's backstory. We find out that his wife died in a fire. He had a daughter, I believe, who died as well. And we learn a little bit about his little treasure box, his black box or his whatever that he always kept in his truck. That has now been, sold with his... I don't know what happened to his truck, but the box
repossessed.
Was in the truck.
The truck was repossessed.
Okay, the truck was repossessed. So his box was in there. And it's a box of all his most valuable items. So this is actually something very sweet. Julie goes and gets the box for him. I think she pays money, like a lot of money for it.
$500.
$500 to get the box back. Meanwhile, while this is happening, I asked this as a question. I asked... Did Joe and Billy have sex while the mom was away? But I'm thinking they did. While Julie was getting the box and paying $500 for the box, didn't Billy...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you think that definitely happened.
I know it happened. I was there.
One of the fascinating little bits of dialogue, while the mother is doing this incredibly nice thing for, again, a man she's known for, 2 weeks at this point, And the daughter
is love at first sight. They're soulmates. Mm, it's obvious. Okay. Just look at their faces. Right. Soulmates. Except for the whole wife-daughter thing. A little bit of a problem in the whole soulmate thing. But Nicolas Cage feels confident they can work something out.
Billy is coming on to him and saying horrible things about the mom. And his reply is, "You have some respect for my wife or I'll spank it in ya." That's weird. Okay, so she's disrespecting his wife. So this is, okay, let me see. Billy is the wife in the daughter's body.
That's correct.
And she is saying that she's now kind of saying that she is the wife, and Nicolas Cage isn't believing it. So he is now sort of combative toward her and saying all of this stuff. But she is trying to convince him that she is Mary, his wife, who has died, and that the soul has entered into the body. And I believe he kind of eventually believes it rather quickly, I guess.
I mean, at that point. Well, no, so I mean, she does say some things that, like, she calls him by his last name, maybe Majors. I don't know. She calls him that, and he's like, well, there's no way. There's a couple things that he's like, well, there's no way you could know that. Obviously, you're my wife.
Okay. All right, so now they're on board, but they're keeping it a secret from Julie. Then
arguably, they're not doing a great job of keeping that a secret.
No, because they wash his motorcycle, and they're having, like, a water fight while they're washing his motorcycle, while, like,
her motorcycle, it's her motorcycle.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know these things.
Well, that's the reason she's in a coma, because of that motorcycle.
Oh, gosh, that's right.
Where were you during this movie?
I don't know. But they're washing it, and they're getting all physical and tickling and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. Okay.
But that does not do that scene justice. At one point, Billy grabs a hose, is spraying Nick with water, and he's dancing and jiving.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought this had to have been a very loose script. There's just no way somebody wrote this into the script. This had to be a spur-of-the-moment thing.
I would probably believe that to be the case. I'm sure they just gave him a hose and said, have fun. And this is what we get to witness. It's great.
Probably.
We get to have the sex scene again with this time. I don't know. Who does he have sex with where he's reading from Memories by Nicolas Cage? I can't remember.
That's with Billy and the wife. Like, we cut back and forth in scenes between Billy and the wife.
Okay. Well, that's going to happen.
And that book,
next.
Present both scenes. That is the tie that binds both scenes together.
Isn't that wonderful? All right.
Well,
now,
yeah,
I
but
get...
like, while this is happening, I felt really bad for Franca because, you know, that Billy, who's possessed, like, she's not even trying to fit in. She's upending the life of this woman who, by and large, is innocent. I mean, all she did was bring this woman back to the real world, which, in essence, should give her a kudos. And I can't tell if Joe cares about Franca or not, because he's kind of ruining her life, too, with his escapades and sexcapades with this girl.
Well, Joe kind of feels like he has to be with the wife. And we see that as the movie, like, kind of comes to the climax, because he's starting to get afraid of her, but he knows that he has to stick with her because that is his dead wife. You know, he has to figure out a way to make it work.
Well, I mean, no, technically it's till death do us part, so I believe he probably could have that marriage annulled if he really chose to.
At some point, don't they talk, maybe it's with Julie and Joe, but don't they talk about the idea that the spirit can go back to where it belongs and they try to plan something? Or did I make that up?
I have no knowledge of that. That did not happen in my movie.
Okay, perfect. I do know that Billy starts to get really pissed off. So Billy, Mary, whatever. And she's kind of done with this whole thing. She wants to move on with her life, take whatever money she can find, hit the road with Nicolas Cage, as all people want to do, of course, and put this whole thing behind her. And things start to get pretty violent. So Billy hits and knocks Julie unconscious. There's some scene where Joe attacks and kills one of Billy's drug addict friends. Does this happen? Okay.
Yeah, they needed some money. But, you know, I want to jump back a second to the book Nicolas Cage Memories, or Memories of Nicolas Cage. When that scene happened, I paused and I thought, did this movie just troll me? Like, I don't know why that book is there. I don't know what it means. And that's why this almost has to be a comedy. I think somebody spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to make a movie that just trolls the viewer with this Nicolas Cage Memories book.
I don't know. You're putting a lot of, like, nuance into
this. Explain that to me. Explain to me why that book is there.
I just think that Nicolas Cage was like, hey, look, I have this. I'm just going to throw it on the table. boom, done.
But everybody else was like, yeah, we think this is a wonderful idea, and it really adds a great layer of nuance to this movie.
If Nicolas Cage says he's going to do something, I suspect everyone allows him to do it. Like, nobody is saying no to that man.
Yeah, but you know they're like, well, I don't know, Nick. I mean,
no, that
what's the motivation?
Nope.
And he delivered this soliloquy about how it really opened up the film and broadened the horizons and how it tied everything together. Like, oh, you're right. It makes the whole movie better. We have to include it. Do you think we need some dialogue about it? And he's like, no, they're going to get it through my performance. They'll know what's going on.
Yeah, pretty much. Look, I think there's some people in Hollywood, probably most people in Hollywood, that can do and say whatever they want. And I think Nicolas Cage is probably top of that list. So I had no problem with it. I just moved right along. I looked it up. I mean, it is like a thing. Like, I think he wrote down some poems or something. I don't know. But yeah, it's fine.
I did think more was going to happen in this movie. I mean, I expected some more, like, chases and guns and car chases. I just expect a little more action, being the fact that it's a Nicolas Cage movie. And it's not a lot really happens as far as action wise.
No, I think he was too busy with the sex scenes to work on the action scenes. I did say at this point in the movie, after Nicolas Cage attacks and kills the druggie, in my notes it said, this movie has taken a weird turn. So
that is the
point where it got a little odd for me. Billy, who is now fully married, takes him, or they go back to the home where the fire has happened so that Nick Cage can confront the past, so that Billy can confront the past. First of all, the structure is still standing, which I was not expecting. The fire happened in like one room, like in like a back kitchen or something, or bedroom. I don't know. But they go back to where it is, and in my notes, I just say the home is rebuilt, but the burnt jack-in-the-box is still there. That seems weird. Yeah.
There's a lot of questions about the burning of the house, the extent of the burning, where we even are.
Yeah.
But that jack-in-the-box is leading us somewhere. Arguably one of the best scenes.
Ward, you're killing me with this movie.
Like, seriously, I made a GIF of the jack-in-the-box scene where Nicolas Cage is in the corner crying as he's twirling the handle. And I just watch it thinking and repeat, and you can't tell me that is not one of the funniest scenes in the movie. Watch the GIF. It is ridiculously funny. Like, because honestly, I wouldn't call it a well-acted scene as far as I believe he's distraught, but it is so funny.
It's so, oh gosh. Yeah, I don't even know. But he's this poor guy. He's just doing his stupid burnt jack-in-the-box, which is still sitting in this house after all this time. And he's envisioning life as it was.
Did you cover why he's distraught in the corner with the jack-in-box specifically?
No.
So, like we kind of get the sense that Mary is a piece of human garbage.
Right.
And then it's all but confirmed, if we weren't sure, that she is human garbage. She murdered their kid since he left to work and provide for them.
Because she doesn't like being alone, and she was trying to prove to him that she needed to be with him more or something.
She's like, I don't do well on my own. And how?
I told you. Yeah.
She becomes a murderer.
Yeah, they didn't set it up like she was postpartum depression or mentally ill. They set it up like she's a psychopath. I mean, there really was no sympathy for her. She was just a crazy lady the whole time. So she does. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we hate her from moment one, pretty much as soon as she enters Billy's body. She's terrible.
She's 100% villain.
Well, you know, because she had said, like, this is a refrain we hear a lot, I don't do well alone. And Billy would tell her mother that, you don't do well alone. And the mother's like, what are you talking about? I'm a single mom, you moron. I do just fine alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, Billy's just, I mean, the mom has, I think, Billy's turned into a moron with some of the stuff she says.
Well, Julie is now teamed up with Billy's friend or boyfriend or whatever. His name is Mike. They have now teamed up. And thank goodness they've teamed up, because Julie wants to cross into the spirit world again. And she can't do it on her own, guys. She needs someone to choke her, of course, to put her in a life or death situation. So Mike has to choke her. And he asks a funny
question. You know what would have been amazing? Go ahead.
Well, he says, wouldn't it just be easier? Like, wouldn't just shooting you be easier? And I was like, yes, let's shoot her. Let's just shoot everybody and end this horrible atrocity of a movie. I was down with that.
Well, I was hoping Mike would say, like, when he starts choking her, he'd say, wait, is this some kind of sex thing? Like, the movie needed that kind of levity.
It probably did. But he's choking her. And again, I have so many issues with her quote-unquote ability. Because she doesn't really do anything. She just stands there. And Did she even help the situation? She sees, like, the daughter, right? She sees his wife, and that's it. Like, she doesn't grab anybody and pull them into a body or take them out or fight anybody. Like, she's just standing there. What good is that?
Like,
what good is that?
All right, I'm going to delve into this because, yeah, I mean, basically my understanding from what I've seen in the movie is she can open the door to let the spirits back into the real world. But Mary's already possessed Billy's body, so I never really thought, oh, if she opens the door, Billy's going to come back, and they're going to fight inside Billy's body, Mary and Billy. Like, I never thought that. Yeah, I don't know why she had to get back. I don't know what she thought she accomplished, because she can't bring her daughter back, because the body is habitated.
Right.
Like, you got to evict first, and I don't even know who you get to do that. Maybe that nurse lady from before, because she had, like, supernatural knowledge of everything.
Yeah, see, I felt like there was missed opportunities, and it wasn't explained. And they could have done more with it. It could have been fun, and it was just stupid. And so she does that. While she's doing that, she's taking care of that. I don't know. But
just ran out of money. Like, maybe there's supposed to be this really big finale, and they just ran out of money. Like, well, we're just gonna have to go with what we got.
Maybe that's so. Nicolas Cage pours gasoline over his body. I have to make a little note. The music in this movie was awful. From start to finish. It was so bad that I commented on it, and I don't comment on music. But up at the beginning, when they're doing their, like, introduction and things like that, it was like a Pink Panther type of feel to it, like a spy movie vibe. And then down here, where he is pouring gasoline over his body, the song Leader of the Pack is playing. While he's pouring gasoline over his body, about to set himself on fire. Do they only have a certain amount of songs that they could play, that they were allowed to play? Because it was awful. It was so bad, I took note of it.
What?
It's just ridiculous.
I mean, look, they were playing Leader of the Pack because setting yourself on fire is such an alpha move.
Okay. All right.
Well, I have a question. Because he sets himself on fire, and, you know, it's bad CGI. Admittedly, bad CGI. But I wasn't sure if either it was bad CGI and he doesn't look like he's really on fire, or did Franca somehow make him supernatural where he can't catch on fire because, like, there's flames on him, but he's not actually burning. So for a few seconds, I wasn't really sure what was happening. I thought, is he going to somehow cross into the world because he's not actually burning? But no, it's just terrible CGI. He's supposed to be burning. We don't have that technology yet to do that in a movie.
And he doesn't say a word. He does it so stoically. He burns to death stoically. Okay, I don't remember this at all, the next sentence I wrote. Mom dies, Billy comes back, Mike drives her away. I don't remember any of those three things happening. How did the mom die? So when we say mom died, is that Julie? Did Julie die?
I think.
I don't remember that at all. I have no recollection of that. But I guess Billy comes back. I wrote it down. Mike drives Billy away. Okay?
Yeah, I don't know. That would be weird. I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm going to say that happened because I wrote it down. And then there was a little after scene.
That's if a movie ever did not need a little extra scene, it's this one. I have no idea how it fits in, what it's supposed to mean. We could have just given Nicolas Cage a minute or two just to do whatever the heck he wanted on screen instead of this.
He could have read from the memories book. That would have been an amazing way to end this movie. But
he could have just stared directly into the camera for two whole minutes, and that would have been better.
That would have been better. Instead, we see a young Joe killing his dad, shooting him, I guess. And that's it. Like, I don't know why we had to see that. Maybe because we were trying to say that he was so guilty for something he did in his past, and that set him up the entire way to feel guilty about the bad things he's done. I don't know. I'm not going to give this movie that much credit.
It has no relation to anything in the movie. Not a single thing. I mean, it's almost like the movie kind of resolved, but then this opens it back up to where, like, I felt like I didn't really get a resolution because of this one scene. I feel like it screwed up everything. And it just, I don't know. Like, the resolution in of itself is unsatisfying. I mean, you said you claimed some stuff happened. I don't know. I don't remember that either.
I can't remember that she died. I wrote it down. It had to have happened. I have no idea. No idea.
My notes at the end were, this is not a good movie at all. The dialogue is rough, but Nicolas Cage, a lot of his scenes are unintentionally funny, and that almost makes up for the rest of the movie. And the more I think about this, the more I have to believe this humor isn't intentional. But I still don't know if this movie's good or bad. I just know it's a terrific Nick Cage performance.
Ugh. I feel like the bar is so low when you say that. Just so low.
The man won an Oscar for something way back when.
Yeah, he's not a bad actor. It's just every now and then he does these type of things. Look, I enjoyed it. I had fun from the butt crack all the way to him with that little Jack in the Box. I was on
after
board.
That, it kind of gets a little sketchy. Yeah. Yeah, between those two moments, yes.
I was on board. And look, I think people should give it a chance. They should watch it. But it's not a good movie. It's not his best performance. It is not a comedy.
Arguably it is.
And
it is very funny.
But it is a fun, bad movie. It is one that I thoroughly enjoyed, nonetheless. It got
performance.
It got 32% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 4.9 on IMDb. Oh, I have one little thing in my note, and that's just that his beard looked like it was scribbled in. And I have to say, when I was reading over critics, they also agreed with me that his scraggly beard was distracting. So there. Franca Potenti played Julie. You were saying Franca the whole time. So just for
Franca.
Listeners, Franco.
Yeah, I didn't know her character's name. I don't think it's very important.
I said it like 500 times. It's Julie.
She didn't really seem like a Julie.
This is classified as a drama, fantasy, thriller.
/ comedy, right?
No, Ward. That's not at all what it says.
This is funnier than movies that are labeled as comedies.
Anyways, and it was released in December of 2018. This is Nicolas Cage's third movie to be filmed in Mobile, Alabama. Ooh, he just likes it so much. And a fourth time he plays a character named Joe. That's good to
that's
know.
An easy name to remember. I like it. Call me Joe. I won't forget it.
That's Between Worlds. That's what we got to watch. I was very excited. Do you have anything else to add about this incredible movie?
No, I mean, I've covered it. I would say that you really need to go to our website once we post this episode and check out some of the gifts we got uploaded, because it gives you an insight in just how amazing some of these scenes are.
Yes, for sure. I'm sure. I have no doubt. Okay, Ward, if people want to find you, where can they find you online?
I'm on Instagram with Ward Works.
Okay. And you can find me at Nico Bell Fiction on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find us at boxofficerefund.com, our website, or Instagram and Twitter. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening and going down this rabbit hole with us. And we will talk to you again next week. Bye.
Box. Office. Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.